Talmidim is an aspiration without compromise to perfection. And he says, Aslida meha redidut taruchanit ruchanit. Redidut, you know, when you go swimming, the shallow is called the redidim. Like where it's not deep. So he says, a revulsion for mediocrity in Rukhiz. Hamavakeshet listapek bebeinoinyus v'chatzoy emet. That mediocrity, which is seeking to settle with somewhere in the middle, half an emet, half chetzi emet. So the Chazon Ish rules this out tremendously. The shita of hafsharot and pashranut, compromise and mediocrity. In one of his letters that he writes to Rav Schneidman, Rosh Yeshivas Tiferes Tzion, it's brought in the Kovetz Igvot, he writes, so he brings a piece from there. He says, kitzoniyut, the extreme, which is what we call extremism. We have a negative connotation about it. Because when it's the Yishmael with his extremism, so then that's how it looks, you know. The Taliban, you know, that's how it looks, right?
Total.
Yeah, right. But effectively what he's saying is the kitzoniyut is perfection of that nosei. So for Yishmael, so actually Ein Hachanami, that's perfection. For what they're trying to achieve, if you're going to do that, so do it properly. So he says, "Kitzoniyut is ishtalmut shel hanosei hadog." Those who jump between mediocrity and despise extremism. You know, I'm a liberal guy. I like it. I always go for the middle. He says their portion, their lot is together with those who the zayfanim, those who put on a good show. Or with those who lack understanding. They don't appreciate the value of what they're dealing with. So it's like, it's nice to have values, you know. So I'm like, but I... He says, if there's no kitzoniyot, there's no perfection. And if you don't have perfection, so nothing stops. He writes stuff too deep for me. I see what he's getting to a little bit, but not. So he says, you'll understand as we go on. So he's, Lawrence writes here, someone who has on his flag the aspiration for mediocrity in Rukhniyat. That such a person is not Mitzugal to have the Ahavas HaTorah and Mitzvah, that love for Torah and Mitzvah. Mitzugal is not, he's not equipped. He's not. He doesn't have the ability to have Ahavas HaTorah, love for Torah. And he says, you often hear, right here, he's quoting again from the Chazon Ish. We often hear, says the Chazon Ish, about groups that that announce about themselves that we're in between, we're not extreme, and they still want to maintain, I guess, even in the Jewish arena, they still want to have a right to be a Jewish right to be a considered a loyal neeman be'emunah maspekes. I've got enough emunah for Torah and Das Torah. From God. So the Chazon Ish is, I'm allowing myself to say from a point of mishpat, there's no such thing amongst those who love chokhmah, who have a love for chokhmah, that they love a little bit and they don't like a lot of it, you know. So too, there's no such thing as amongst those who love Torah and Mitzvah, there's a middle ground, and I don't like extreme. That's out. Now he says, this is what's very important. Just, you know, wherever we end up in the longer run, whatever we're doing, someone who's unable to is almost sugal to lahagshim, to make it real by him, into the point of halacha lemaisa, right? That I'm actually practicing this. I live that way, right? And he says that's okay, but he's got to aspire towards it in whatever level he can. So you saw, you see in Pinus Lavovas, in Mr. Sishorim, that's a known yourself. That he's saying aspiring, this is, I'll quote, see, three more lines he quotes here. The mediocrity that has the right good to exist is those mid-level, the Beinonim, right, that love the extreme of what we're dealing with. We're not talking about, you know, like we said, right, extremism of when it's emet, right? But the Beinonim, that HaBeinonim ha'oav im et ha'kitzonut, and aspire to it b'chol matas nafshom. Everything I'm about is I wish I could have that. And they teach their kids. You know, you got like, I mean, chutzot, you got a chutzot, you know. Guy's a hard working guy all day long, right? Doesn't have a moment for. But nothing is more important to him than sending his kids to proper chen. You know? He can barely read a word himself, he doesn't understand, just doesn't go in, right? But one thing is that my kids are going to grow up and have that. You know, that's acceptable. Right? He's not there himself, right? But he wishes, he aspires to it. He's got that shifa. But he said how aluv and how the mediocrity which mocks and which puts a cold shoulder back at turns neck, an oref back of the neck, right? to the kitzoniyot, to the carrying something all the way. And he says here, he asked the Chazon Ish once why there were certain groups that he was, that the Chazon Ish battled with, and Rav Lawrence said, but the Chazon Ish, he went to the Chazon Ish, he said, but your derech is to makarev the rechoikim, to bring closer those that are far off. You know, why are these groups any worse than any other people that are far? So the Chazon Ish said, I'm a makarev the rechoikim that recognize that they're those that are better than them. And they know how to value a real yid. But those that decided that, you know, the mediocrity, their mediocrity, that's what Yiddishkeit is about. I mean, that's what America is all about, right? You know, came conservative, right? Now that, you know, I remember in Toronto, you know, the mechitza was like, you know, like that high, you know. And then, we only couldn't wait till you could put the mechitza down, you know. So, Rabbi would talk, move the mechitza, you know. Like, you know, that's this mahalach. That's this mahalach of. That's what the Chazon Ish said. Right? He's makarev rechoikim that are makir, that those that are better than them, and they know what a real yid is. But those groups that the mediocrity is, that's what Yiddishkeit is about. And the radical, you know, the extremists, the that Meir Shaarim one. You go to South Africa, you hear, you know, like. You know, they talk about, you know, right? So he says, said the Chazon Ish, if today, if when you have a group that thinks there's no one better than me, right? No one better than us, So he says that is not, that he doesn't occur, that is marchis. So this is what Torah is about, right? This is what Yiddishkeit's about. Yiddishkeit's about somewhere in the middle. Of course, we have Chazal telling us Derech Chaim Tzoi, right? You've got to go to the middle, too much to the right, not too much. But it has to be understood in where are we talking about? Yeah, when it comes to giving, being kind and giving tzedakah, there's a point, there's a limit. You know, you can give everything away and you leave yourself destitute. That's not kindness. That's cruelty with your family, you know, with yourself. That's not being realistic. Then there's everything's for me and I don't give anything. You know. There's a time to okay. That's anyway. I'm saying this is a so. Yeah, no, right. I'm not saying whether the guy in Mea Shorim hasn't gone off the post. What's the toy? Right? I mean, the point is though that the ism called mediocrity ism, right? That's like, it's got to be something that you know gays are also okay, you know. Right? I had a guy who's a friend of mine, a good friend of mine. I think by now he's already. Right, but, you know, like he was a real top guy, great guy, nice guy, you know. But we grew up in those years. He grew up more than I did in Toronto. We were and the one thing though that like you know somehow this got in. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, in America, you know, everyone's acceptable. Everything's okay. It's all so that comes into Yiddishkeit as well. People come with, you know, a little bit of love for Torah. Don't love Torah too much. Love for mitzvahs. Yeah, good point. You know. I don't have the final printout. Okay, guys, here it is. This is what it is.
You're saying that everyone feels that they're the top of the
Yeah, I'm saying when you get, I'm saying like what happened with looking back historically. So there was conservative, there wasn't reform, there was conservative initially. Things don't happen, you don't jump to the extreme, right? You realize that's no good, right? Until you start take one step out, then the next thing is the next step out. But there was like, you know, there was this the world. You know, the religious, the Torah Jew from Sinai, I mean, you know, the Rebbe Kiva and Talmidim, that doesn't go with the new world that we're living in. You know, you've got to mingle and match, and you've got to. When you say, let's say, like, you take Rav Hirsch, Shinshon of Rav Hirsch. I mean, although he understood the flock, you know, he knew where they were at and where the world was at and where Europe was at that point. Right? But Emes was Emes. It wasn't Pshar. Remember hearing Rav Bulman. Or Soloveitchik in America. When he spoke, you just saw. When someone. When the love is there, it's just. A love for a father for a child. You just. Such a thing as that. I love him a little bit, you know. It's not the ideal. Father's love for a child is. Ain't sure. There's nothing a father will do for a kid. So our love for Torah and mitzvahs has to be that as well. So what's right and what's wrong in different situations, you know, so they're not an amulet. You need Torah for that. Right. And that's for that we need Gedolim. That's why we need Gedolim to tell us.
You're not saying
Yeah, it's not determined by sect. I'm saying the moment that you have a sect that comes into, like yesterday we mentioned from Rav Simple about this. Rav Simple was approached, one of these quoted here. He was in a group of, in America, Rav Simple was in America, and there were a group of Hasidim. And there was a Nasi Fa, a gathering of Hasidim there. There was a reform rabbi, a conservative rabbi there. And the conservative said to Rav Simple, what are you doing, the least part among Hasidim? And he said, he said, Yiddishkeit is like an army. In Hashem's army, you've got the Navy, right? You've got the Air Force, you've got the... Each one is a different part, but they're all there for the... So he said, that's Hasidim and same thing. So the conservative rabbi said, so where do the conservatives fit in? So he said, you're the guys that abandoned the sacrifice. That was his. And on another occasion, we mentioned there, Rav Simcha Dafka was approached. Someone said, there was a gathering of Rabbonim, maybe in America it was. And some people got up that were, I didn't say they were conservative, but they were saying things that were not toyim, that didn't fit with Das Torah. And then eventually someone is in the group said, let's ask Rav Simcha what he thinks. So Rav Simcha got up and said, if you guys are rabbis, so then please call me Mister. We're not getting anywhere in terms of the what we're going to put in the what we're going to print out. Tachin, in all the different topics that they are. But I'm saying this was very. You see, at the very beginning of Eretz, the beginning of the state of Israel, at its beginning, the secular Zionism was something that was It goes on was. Chazon Ish was the one who stood up tremendously against that concept. And he said, we don't understand, because now we've gotten much more to the middle ground. But back then, he says that it was, I remember even years back in South Africa, there wasn't something that wasn't, there was as kadosh as the new, there was no Torah, certainly Torah mitzvahs at all. In fact, that was out completely. But no one had the guts even to challenge. There was nothing more kadosh than that.
When I was in Cape Town, I saw that film.
Yeah, in South Africa. See, that's how I know about it. What was that? The secular Zionism that there was.
Secular in Cape Town, secular Zionism.
Right. I know that because I remember my grand. I remember my grand. You would mention Israel. You'd mention a song, and even South Africa. Like if you tell someone, you should know this. It's not all as straight as you think it is. It's everything switched around. If you would talk about a rav, you'd mention a rav was. There'd be nothing more miskin than a rav. Nothing more. And. But if you were like a government official, in Israel, that's what place this was. That was Torah. That became like communism was in its time. I mean, when communism was communism, when it was, so then Torah blew away, almost, because of these few, like the Prophet's time, etc. But the ruach was so powerful that everyone got sucked in. And here, at the beginning of the Medina, of the state, so then. The Chazon Ish took battle that. Nowadays we know that you don't have Israel without Torah. There's no Eretz Yisrael without the yeshivas, without the Mir, without Panovich, and without Hebron. There's no kiyum for Amisrael. You can't have Eretz Yisrael without the Torah. Just like you can't live without Mayim. Once you have Mayim, you everything else you can now talk about other stuff. So anyway, a little bit. But this was part of the battle that he led against the compromise, against the mediocrity. And you see that now. I know. I've got a friend who says, you know, I mean, he's not. Fortunately for him, he doesn't wear the black stuff that I'm wearing, you know. But we're very good friends, and I have tremendous respect for him because he has that appreciation for real Torah. And he told me, you know, he said that he'd love to live in Ra'anan. He'd love to live in Ra'anan. You go to Ra'anan, it's nice, you know, you feel at home. For some people, anyway. South Africans feel at home in Ra'anan. And he could fit in there beautifully. I mean, but he said, you know, I went together with him to meet with someone there, and the guy's a Frum guy, but his kids, skinhead. Like, I didn't say anything, you know. We left, and he said to me, he turned to me, this guy, and he said, "I'd love to live in Ra'anana, but that's why I'll never move here. Look what happened to my kids." But you can send them to a school where they, you know, Torah is good, and somewhere, you know, this is what happens. This is what the Chazon Ish is talking about. You're going to see that in the long run, you're going to have your kids are going to be completely off gone, and that's shown itself to be that way everywhere. Any place in America which started without a yeshiva, after 20, 30 years, there was no one. Kimat Shomer Shabbos. Because when you didn't aspire, when you didn't, I mean, there's a number of reasons. But one of the reasons is when your flag didn't say on it, listen, this is what I'm about. So then there's no hope. Then that's the mediocrity that leads to nothing in the long run. Nothingness. And that's how Yidness survived all the doors, because there was Torah, and there was real Torah. There was Rebbe Akiva, there was the Vilna Gaon, there was all the Gedolim that their lives were Torah, and the rest of Am Yisrael aspired to that. And that, as much as people ascribed, and that was that's what real Yiddishkeit was about, even though you had your working man who worked day and night, but as long as he had that on his flag, so then he was a part of that, and that continued. At the moment it was like, you know, we can start what's left of conservatism. It's a Sunday morning thing that you can rock up there and feel like you've got some connection to something. More than that, it doesn't really.
Yeah. How do we answer this, Jiren? You mentioned that the Rambam says, you know, there are only two things you should go to extreme about: caste and.
Yeah, but that's when it comes to midas. That's when it comes to. But in terms of MS,
yeah.
There's no such thing as. What's the MS? Ma Hashem Elokeinu Shomer Imach. Whatever it says in the Torah, that's there. It says V'yigisa bo yom v'layla. So I know that. I'm not there, but I know Reb Chaim is, and Reb Yosh is holding there, you know. So and that's what a real Yid is about. And I know I can't be that practically, but I know that I want my kids to aspire to just like I do. Yeah.